We want to welcome everybody once again to church, and let's just pray and ask the Lord to bless the ministration of the word. Father, we thank you, Lord. As always, we know that the entrance of your word brings light. And that light, Lord, that darkness cannot comprehend it. Now, this morning, Lord, we present ourselves before you as we stand in the message of the Lord this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit have his way. In Jesus' mighty name. And let your name be glorified this morning as we enter the word of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together to Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, we are back once again. I don't know if I ran some people off, you know, after that message on evangelism last week, you know, but that's what it's all about. Amen. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. You know, God didn't just save us just to come to church. You know, every week we just come out here and sit down and so forth like that. Now, I want everybody, you know, we're not done with that series yet, and today is going to be very important. I couldn't even hardly get any sleep last night. I was praying, you know, and just believing God for, you know, the Lord told me, you know, he said, well, you know, you cannot mobilize the people. Now, listen to this now. Say, you cannot mobilize the people to evangelism unless first there is a revival in their soul. Amen. He said, well, you know, that's what he said, you know. So, you know, I tried to do it last week and so forth. Of course, you know, the Lord gave me that message to preach. But he come back with a different message this morning, you know, still in the same series. And I want you to pay attention and see what the Lord's going to do for us this morning. Now, today, the message this morning is ablaze for God, igniting the fire and rekindling the flame. Now, that's ablaze for God, igniting the fire and rekindling the flame. Well, you say, ignite the fire? Why, sure. Rekindle the flame? Absolutely. And I'm praying, and I prayed just about all night long, and even this morning, that the Lord would set the people of God ablaze. And, you know, all we need is just a few people in here that are on fire for God. And there's no telling what we can accomplish. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Now, Luke chapter 12. And verse 49. Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Now, remember, the message is ablaze for God, igniting the fire and rekindling the flame. Now, Luke chapter 12 and verse 49. Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. Now, Jesus couldn't wait, you know, to get that fire, you know, and so forth like that, you know. And in Matthew chapter 3, and verse 11. Here is what the scripture says. John the Baptist had this to say in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Now John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. You know, that's what he was doing. Now that's John the Baptist. Not me, but John the Baptist. Say, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about that fire of God, what it does. You know, we need that fire. We need that revival. You know, in order to be a soul winner, not to be an effective witness, in order to mobilize ourselves to evangelize, we got to have that fire. And, you know, in order for us to have revival in a corporate setting like this, as a church, we got to have revival as individuals. See? And so we're going to be talking about that this morning. Now, you know, I want to start off by saying the very nature of God, the very essence of God, the Spirit of God is characterized oftentimes in the Bible by fire. See? Now, you say fire? Absolutely. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, "And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire." Now, notice, those were seven lamps of fire. "There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, and these were the seven spirits of the living God." Now, so God right away, you know, he tells us that the, you know, the Spirit of God, you know, the anointings of God is like fire. You know, he calls it lamps of fire. Now, there is nothing cold about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's fire. You know, even the appearances, you know, many times in the scriptures, God will appear, you know, in fire. You know, and I'm going to talk about that and the significance of that and so forth this morning. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 24, there are so many of them. I'm just going to read two verses. I don't want to preach very long this morning. I'm going to just read two verses. First, I will read Exodus 24 and 17. Exodus 24 and 17. Now, we're going to see how in the Old Testament the Lord appeared many times, you know, the glory of the Lord in the fire and so forth like that. And, you know, just to show that the very nature of God, the power of the Spirit of God, you know, sometimes and oftentimes associated with fire. Exodus 24 and verse 17. "And the sight of the glory of the Lord." Now let me start from verse 16. "And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and on the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire." See, now that's the sight of the glory of the Lord. It was like devouring fire. "It was in the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel." You know, so we see that the very appearance of the glory of God was like devouring fire. You know, now you've read in you know, the first few chapters of Exodus how Moses, he saw the flame that was burning, the burning bush and so forth like that. God appeared to him, you know, out of that burning bush and so forth like that. And he, you know, there was a fire in there and he saw that flame. Now, Exodus chapter 40, the very last, Exodus chapter 40, and I'm going to read the very last, that's verse 38. That's the very last chapter and the very last verse of Exodus. This is Exodus 40 and verse 38. "For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day and fire." See, now that's again the presence. We're describing the presence of God, how he guided them through the wilderness. "The cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day and fire was upon it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journey." So we see that, you know, the presence of the Lord many times characterized by fire. Even his appearances sometimes, you know, as we saw when he appeared to Moses and so forth like that. You know, he appeared to him out of the burning bush. And now, you know, he, you know, tells us he appears to, you know, appear to Israel in the pillar of fire, you know, by night and all of this and so forth. Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8. Now, there's somewhere we are going with this message this morning, so I want you to stay with me in this message. Ezekiel chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 2. "Then I beheld, and lo, a likeness as the appearance of fire." Now, that was the likeness as the appearance of fire. "And from the appearance of his loins, even downward, there was fire." You know, I mean, every time this dramatic, magnetic figure, when he appeared, which was the Lord, there was fire around him. You know, there was fire in his, you know, loins. There was fire from his loins downwards, and even from his loins even upwards. It was the appearance of brightness as the color of amber. So there was fire all around him, you know, every time, you know, he appeared and so forth like that. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. We're just depicting the various appearances of our Lord, you know, in the fire and all of the dramatic appearances associated with the fire of God. Now, Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. I beheld you, the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool, and his throne was like a fiery flame. The very throne on which the Ancient of Days sat was like fire. Boy, you can't put any coldness, you know, lukewarmness around him. You know, he's always in fire. You know, he's fired up. And he says his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels were like burning fire. You know, that's the Lord himself. You know, that's how the Lord characterized himself many times when he appeared. It was always fire. There was some motion. There was, you know, something going on around him all the time. Fire and the appearance of fire and the burning fire and the flame and so forth. That's how he appeared throughout the scriptures. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. He also appeared in this dramatic fashion to John on the Isle of Patmos. And when he did, here's the way that John described his appearance in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 14. And his head, and his hairs were like the wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. Now again, you see, even when he appeared, you know, to John, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like fine brass, as if he burned in the furnace. So there was always this burning and this fire around him, you know, whether it was coming out of his eyes, coming out of his loins, or even his whole, you know, his very appearance looked like fire, or the very throne on which he sat looked as if it was on fire. Why did God use all those different appearances about fire for, you know, for himself? Even the very beginning, when he began to appear the first time to people, see, I mean, well, you know, different from the Garden of Eden and so forth like that, you know, but the very first time that he began to appear, you know, to Moses and so forth, you know, I mean, he talked about even the very fire of God. He was there, he saw the burning bush, and he could not, if he looked at it, it was burning, but it was not even consumed. And that was the Lord telling to him, and I want to read it to you in Exodus chapter 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in verse 2 of Exodus 3. He appeared unto him in a flame of fire. You know, every time his appearance is the flame of fire. Why? We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And out of the midst of the bush, this is Exodus 3 and verse 2. And he looked, and the bush was burned, you know, it was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, you know. So the fire of the Lord was there and so forth, and it was a different kind of fire. And he saw that the bush was on fire, but the bush was not being consumed. And he said, well, I'm going to turn aside and see this great sight. See, and then the Lord spoke right out to him. See, the Lord spoke to him out of the midst of the fire, and he told him what he wanted him to do and so forth, you know, and all of that. So we see that all through these places that we have read in these scriptures, the glory of the Lord himself, or even his throne, appeared to be set on fire, you know. And you know, when they were looking at it, these prophets and these visions that they saw, and even some personal encounters, they saw the fire, they saw the glory, they saw the power, you know, and they said, wow, you know, in some cases, I would turn aside and see this side. Now, I gave all of that to show all of the appearances of God. Now, I'm going to draw a parallel now. Now, you stay with me. Between natural fire and spiritual fire. Now, you all know what natural fire is. You know, we light a fire, you know, we use it to cook, we use it to generate energy and so forth. We use it to give heat and warmth and all of these things and so on. And in fact, if fire is controlled and used correctly, they can actually, you know, if they control it, not the ones that are running wild, you know, they control it, they can use the fire to burn, you know, bushes and so forth to prepare for, you know, for a planting season. You know, they do that sometimes, you know, when it's controlled. You know, they burn the bush and so forth like that, and then begin to till the, you know, the land and so forth. Because when it burns all of that stuff, it produces some material in the ground that is good, you know, and so forth like that. And they have to control the fire to do that, you know. So we see what fire in the natural does. You know, it does all of these things and so forth. You know, so, but the one thing about fire, even natural fire, is this. It needs fuel. Now, how many of you understand that? Hello? The whole church is quiet this morning. Fire needs fuel. As fire cannot burn without fuel. Now, sometimes the fuel can be combustible material, you know, like wood, stubble, grass, you know, even paper, or, you know, gasoline, or kerosene, or whatever, you know, and sometimes, you know, there are some other combustible things and so forth, which I have not mentioned, you know, but, you know, even coal and all of these things, you know, can be used to, as fuel for the fire. Now, when the fire is burning, natural fire, that is, unless you add more fuel, it will begin to dwindle, and it eventually go out. Now, when fire is burning in the bush, in the forest, those ones, wildfires that are completely out of hand, they've got lots of fuel, because all those dry bush and dry grass and so forth just fueling the thing, and, you know, they just can't get it under control. So it's got lots and lots of fuel. You say, well, you know, well, that one didn't die quickly. Well, that's because it's got lots and lots and lots of fuel. You know, but if you start a little fire right here, you know, go to your, you know, backyard tomorrow for the barbecue and so forth like that, you start a little fire and all that, you know, pretty soon, if you don't fuel that fire, it's going to go out. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, if you don't put any more fuel, it's going to go out. You know, maybe the wind will blow over it and it'll go out. You know, then you have to crank it up a little bit if it's using gas or whatever. You know, if it's charcoal, you need to put some more or whatever. You just fan it a little bit and, you know, put some sparks into it because the fire is going out because, you know, it's losing its fuel and so forth like that. Now, that's natural fire. Spiritual fire is just the same. See, now, that's the difference, you know, I mean, you know, there's some difference, but it works the same way. Now, here's what God said about the spiritual fire that He wants us to have. Leviticus chapter 6, if you want to turn with me. He used the natural fire to depict the spiritual fire that He wants us to have. Now, Leviticus chapter 6. I'm going to read from verse 12, but I'm going to start at 9, and I will skip and then go down to 12. Now it says, command Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. He says, it is the burnt offering because of the burning. So you see, it's talking about burning, it's just fire and all of that. The burning upon the altar all night to the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. That's what the Lord said. The fire of the altar should be burning in it. So He's depicting this fire, you know, this law of the burnt offering, and He's going to tell them how to do it. Now, verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. Now, that's what the Lord said. He wants that fire burning all the time. The fire on the altar shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it. That's the fuel. You got to add wood to it to keep it burning. You got to burn wood on it every morning. You can't depend on the fire from yesterday. How many of you say amen? You got to burn wood on it every morning. And you've got to lay that burnt offering in order upon it, and it shall burn, you know, thereupon the fat of the priest's offerings and the fire. This is verse 13. Shall be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now this is God's own depiction of the fire that should be in our lives. This is what He wants. Now, He says the fire shall never go out. It's a perpetual fire. It should be burning all the time. And if it seems like it's going out, put some more wood in it every morning, He said. You know, put wood in it. You know, don't just think that once you start the fire, it's going to burn by itself forever. Oh, no, that's not going to happen. You've seen that with natural fire. The same thing with spiritual fire. Now, Jesus, when He gives the Holy Ghost and fire, you know, even Jesus said, well, you know, I can't wait until this, you know, baptized with this baptism that I need to be baptized with. And so forth. One time the disciples, they came, they said, well, we want to sit on your left and right until Matthew 20. And Jesus said, can you be baptized with the baptism that I will be baptized with? And so forth. He asked them. They said, yes. And they said, okay, you will. John the Baptist, he said, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. That's Jesus that does that. See? And Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, we preached on some of this last week, that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we see that even in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, after they waited for the promise, just like Jesus said, when that Holy Ghost came the first time, it was actually even visible like fire. The Bible said there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire. See, and it sat on them. And they all began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Now again, God depicting that appearance of the Holy Ghost by fire. Now, you see, what has all of this, you know, got to do with me? You say, well, here's what it's got to do with us. See, because my job, the Lord told me, is to help everyone that is here ignite that fire and rekindle that flame. You say, well, that's your job? Yes. You know, that's what the Lord, He wants me to preach this message, not only today, and every day, until we get that fire fired up in our souls. See, because we don't want a scenario where everybody just comes to church, or just sit down. You know, every Sunday we come, and the next Sunday we come, and we all just sit down, so forth like that. And I'm going to, in a minute, I'm going to show you the trend and the traits and the signs of backsliding, lukewarmness, and finally apostasy. I'm going to show you in a few minutes how it goes, you know, starts from a little backsliding, a little lukewarmness, and so forth like that. And finally, death, apostasy sets in. Now, so there is a reason why the Lord wants us to be fired up. Because we're trying to get this church to be mobilized for evangelism. But the Lord said no. I mean, He said, that's good, but you know, you got to get them fired up. You got to get that fire back in their souls. You know, because many have fallen asleep, it looks like. You know, so, now, I want you to listen to this that the Lord has to tell us here. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 14. Now, I preached on this several months ago, one time when I preached the message, Return Unto Your First Love, right here on this pulpit, many, many months ago, probably about a year or so ago. But today I'm going to touch on this verse in Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to touch on it and then reveal some things about the state of the church in general today. Ephesians 5 and verse 14. Wherefore He saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Well, first He said, awake. You know, so first they were sleeping. The next thing you know, they're actually dead. And He said, come on now, get up from that sleep. You know, get up from that slumber. You know, even the Bible says, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms, so shall your poverty come upon you. Now that's natural poverty, but that's spiritual poverty also. A little complacency, see, a little folding of the arms, a little slumber. Matthew chapter 25. The story of the 10 virgins, the foolish and the wise that were waiting for the bridegroom. And that sounds like the state of the church today. Now Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto, you know, 10 virgins and so forth like that, you know, that were waiting. Say, for the kingdom of God shall be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So, you know, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish and so forth. The wise that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. See, now remember, we're talking about the fire. See, Now there is this lamp. They had no oil to fuel the lamp, the fire, and so forth. Of course, it was burning at one time, but you know, after a while, there's not enough oil and so forth like that. Then it's going to go out. You know, so now let's stay with this parable here and see what the Lord is talking about. So they that were foolish, they took their lamps, but they took no extra oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So, you know, the lamp already had some oil in it and it was burning. But, you know, the foolish ones did not have any backup oil, you know, or any extra, you know, in case the lamps went out. You know, but the wise ones, they did. You know, so they had extra oil and so forth. Now, verse 5 is where I'm really going with this. Now, while the bridegroom tarried, they all of them, including the wise and the foolish, while the bridegroom tarried, just like he has tarried now for so many years. I mean, the scripture has been saying for thousands of years, literally, that the Lord is coming soon. And so, you know, people are falling asleep, you know, because of the promise that has seemingly lingered. So while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, so a little slumber, you know, just lay on the chair a little bit, easy chair, just doze off a little bit. Then the next thing you know, fall asleep and so forth. And finally, Ephesians 5 says, dead. And I say, they have to awake, you know, out of sleep. So we see that the lamps, they all had the lamps. And we know that the lamp is for one reason, is to burn and give light in the dark. And it has a flame. And you put fuel in it, oil, you know, to make the fire to burn. And you can also get some heat if you stay around, you know, the lamp if it's cold. You know, but if you don't have the oil, then when the lamp goes out, there is no fuel to recharge, rekindle, or reignite that flame. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And this morning, the condition of the church, not just this church, I'm talking of the universal church, so to speak. You know, Jesus said in Revelation, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 3, he depicts the condition of the church at the end of the age by this church that was in Laodicea. You know, and he said to them, he said here in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, at the end of the age, you know, we've talked about that change into His glory series, a new creation that is coming into the fullness of the image of Christ. Now, Jesus is the first of that creation. He's the first of that group. So he's announcing to them here, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would you were either cold or hot. Now, he doesn't want any part of lukewarmness. But he said, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot. Now, listen to what he said I will do. You know, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. That's like you put lukewarm water in your mouth and it's just distasteful. You know, if it's cold, it, you know, tastes good. If it's hot, maybe it tastes good. But, you know, it's lukewarm. Jesus said, no, it doesn't taste good at all. I'm going to spew it out of my mouth. You know, and he said, well, why is he going to do that? He said, because thou sayest, I am richer and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Now, notice all the things that Jesus said. Yeah, now, they said, we are rich. See? Now, so let me begin to bring in here the signs of backsliding, the signs of lukewarmness, and then finally, apostasy. Now, here's where it begins. First, a little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the arms. The things that used to fire you up can't even get any emotion out of you anymore. See, when you are in that state, the Bible says, examine yourself. What are you being the faith? You say, what I be in the faith? Yes. You know, when the preaching, now notice this, when the preaching of righteousness, when the preaching of holiness makes you uncomfortable, then you're already backsliding. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
That's right. We must preach righteousness. If all you want to hear is social gospel and so forth like that, the kind of gospel that makes you feel good. Well, I don't even know what kind of gospel that is, but let me just say the kind of message that makes people feel good and so forth. No convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said when the Holy Ghost comes, he will convict. You know, that's one of the things he's going to do. You know, so, you know, if all you want to hear is that social sweet gospel, remember the Bible says in the last days they will heap teachers unto themselves, having itching ears and so forth. They don't want the truth. They just want some sweet gospel and so forth. Now, so if the preaching of righteousness, if the preaching of holiness makes you uncomfortable, or when the Lord begins to speak and tries to invite you and provoke you to evangelism and soul winning, if that makes you uncomfortable, then you better check. You might be backsliding. No, that's how backsliding goes. Prayerlessness. And perhaps you used to wake up in the night and pray for hours. Now, these days, you don't even care to pray. You know, that's a sign of backsliding. And before you know it, if you are not careful, it's going to go into lukewarmness, apostasy, and all of these things. We'll see that in a minute. You know, you say prayerlessness? Yes. Because the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmarks. In the book of Proverbs chapter 23 and 10. You know, these ancient landmarks, they are like prayer, they are fasting, you know, they are witnessing, they are evangelizing, they are doing all of these things, reading the Word of God. Now, if you don't even have any passion concerning the Word of God anymore, and maybe you don't even have time to read it, maybe you are already backsliding. You need to check that. You know. And the Bible says, in the last days, men will be despisers of them that are good, but they will love the evil and so forth. You know, so, if you begin to condone sin, and you don't see anything that's wrong with it, you say, well, I don't want to be judgmental. Well, Jesus said, you know, I'm not come to send, you know, peace and so forth. Fine. And John the Baptist said, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. And God's going to chop down. Jesus said, every tree that my Father has not planted, I'm going to root it out. Now, Jesus didn't rob anybody over the head, you know, and so forth like that. Of course, he didn't condemn them when they came to him, you know, but he didn't condone the sin. That's the difference. You know, now, if you begin to condone sin, if you watch television and you see the things that are going on and there is no passion in your soul, you know, then maybe you are backsliding. Maybe you should turn that television off. Hey, it's getting very quiet in here this morning. And if when you watch TV, all you watch is the immoral things that they do on television and so forth like that, you know, and so forth, and you like to watch those things and so forth, then maybe you are already backsliding. Or even in a backsliding state already. See? Now the things which you wouldn't do at one time, you find it comfortable to do those things now. That's a sign of backsliding. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That's right. Now, you know, or perhaps, you know, you find it even uncomfortable, you know, when we announce. Which the Bible says the minister should sanctify a fast. I'm going to read that scripture for you in a minute. You know, when we say we are sanctifying a fast and we want everybody to be a part of it, you feel that's uncomfortable. You don't like to be a part of that and so forth. You don't want people to encroach on you and so forth like that. Well, that's how the revival comes. The Bible says there must be a fast, there must be a howling, there must be a crying before the Lord. Now, if you feel uncomfortable when you hear that kind of message, maybe you're already backsliding. So you got to check those things. Now, backsliding is just saying also, it doesn't matter. It's just a little leaven leavens the whole lump. See, when you say, well, that doesn't really matter, you know, well, that's not the way it is, and so forth like that. This is, you know, the new age, you know, that was, you know, in those days and so forth. Well, you know, the word of God is eternal. What God demanded then, he still demands now.
Hallelujah.
And he is not going to change any of that. Now, God may change, you know, the methods and whatever he wants to do and so forth like that. But he is not going to change his word. You know, so when you do, if you begin to, you know, make excuses and so forth like that, maybe you're already backsliding, so you got to check. Now, the Lord, He wants me to bring this out today. You know, and so forth like that. You say, well, you know, are you a preacher of doom? No, I'm not. You know, I just like to preach what God puts in my mouth. Because the Bible said, thy word is a fire in my bones. Yeah, I got to get that word out and fire some souls out. I was in a bank yesterday and so forth like that, you know, and somebody said to me, he said, you know, how are you doing? I said, well, I'm doing well. How are you? And so I said, good. You know, he said, you ready for the weekend? I said, oh yeah, always ready. So what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to go to church tomorrow, see if I can fire up some souls. He looked at me, you know, I don't care. I just say it the way it is. Praise ye the name of the Lord. That's right. I said, I got to go to church tomorrow and see if I can fire up some souls. And he said, wow. You know, I said, yeah, got to fire up some souls. Amen. Amen. Well, I said, you know, he said, well, you know, it looks like you got a busy week. I said, sure. You know, you know, he was going to talk about barbecue and so forth, but I run him off when I talk about fire up some souls, you know. Amen. But that's what we are doing here this morning. Fire up some souls. Come on, people. Let's be fired up for Jesus. Get that fire in your soul. Free that fire that's inside of you. Be ablaze for God. Ignite that flame that is dying. Come on, people. Amen. Oh, yeah. I mean, let the light of God shine in you. Let people know who you are. Amen. Jesus said, I came from above. And you are from beneath. He told them the way it was. You know, and they finally killed him because he said, I am the Son of God. Boy, you know, the Lord, you know, you watch out now, people. When we come into that fullness of the sonship, then that persecution is going to come again. Because that's the same reason they killed Jesus. Because he said, I am the Son of God. And they said, you being a man, make yourself God. He said, well, I've done all these works. Why do you want to kill me? He said, we don't kill you for any good works that you did. But because you being a man, see, they understood that to be a son of God, that means that you are God. You got the God nature. And even the elect of God today still don't understand that. The Pharisees understood it. They said, you calling yourself a son of God, that makes you equal to God. See, they understood that. And this is exactly where we are headed. We are headed, you know, we have an encounter with Jesus. We are headed straight into the fullness of the nature of the stature of Christ. We're going to be just like Him. But He's taking us there step by step. Now, one of the things, one of the ways to take us there today is to get that fire back into our souls. Jesus Himself said, I cannot wait. I'm straightening until I get this baptism and so forth like that. You know, of course, you know, there are many different flavors to what He meant by that. You know, but you know, when you begin to see these signs, let me get back to that. When you begin to see some things and so forth like that, you know, when you begin to pray a little less often, see, when coming to church begins to be a drag, maybe you're already backsliding. See? Oh yeah, but Jesus said, I am married to the backslider. You're not going anywhere. He's going to get you. You know, and that's the reason we're preaching this message this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Now this is not a message of condemnation. But it is a message of conviction. The Holy Ghost, when He comes, He will convict. See? And He will stir you up. Boy, but if you hear the word of God and you do nothing about it, the Bible says, well, you're just like a man that looks at his face in the mirror. He sees that, you know, there's some dirt or whatever, you know, and he just doesn't do anything about it. Well, so it doesn't do you any good then if it's not mixed with faith and action on your part. You know, so you see the conditions of the church today. The other thing is this, I'm increased. Rich and increased with goods. Well, when finances or affluence or riches and so forth begin to take center stage in your life, that's a sure sign of backsliding. You know, and if you are not careful, all the way into apostasy and so forth like that. So you better watch it. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 and 33. And His righteousness. But today, in fact, today sometimes the measure of spirituality in some churches and in some places, the way they measure spirituality is by the affluence that you have. It's by how much wealth, I mean, talking of carnal wealth and so forth, you know, physical, material things that you have. And that's how they measure spirituality. Well, you know, the Bible says the things that are highly esteemed among men in Luke chapter 16, they are an abomination unto God. So God will not have any part of that. You know, so, you know, this last day church, they say, well, I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. Well, you need that fire in your soul. He said, well, you know, and Jesus said, well, you don't even know that you are wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind and you are naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, that's fire again. So that you may be rich. And raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. As many as I love. Amen. I chasten and rebuke. So if the Lord is chastening, if the Lord is rebuking, it is because he loves. He said, behold, I stand at the door, Revelation 3:20. Now this is not a message to be preached to unbelievers, this verse. But I've heard people try to use this verse, you know, to converse people who are outside the kingdom to come into the kingdom and say, well, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. No, this is a message to their church. How many of you say amen to that?
Amen.
Jesus told John, he said, write these things to the seven churches that are in Asia. Jesus is saying to the church that I am outside the church. Well, this is not a message for an unbeliever. He is outside the church. Why? Because the church is focused on commercialism. The goods have increased. I have need of nothing and all of these things and so forth. Well, you better get back on your knees. Because that's where the power lies. Is, you know, the Bible says, behold, I dwell on high. I am the Lord that inhabits eternity. But I also dwell with him that is of a contrite spirit and so forth like that. You know, why does he do that? You know, and why will he, you know, come to those, you know, who humble themselves before him and so forth? You know, why will he do it? You know, because the Bible says that the Lord, he knows afar off the proud. But the ones that humble themselves before him, oh yeah, that's where the Lord goes. See, even though he's high, even though as he's lofty and so forth, but he chooses to dwell with those that are of a contrite spirit. And he chooses to dwell with those, you know, that are broken in their hearts and, you know, repentant and so forth. Now, a few months ago, we preached on the message, Ingredients of True Revival, which the Lord, he said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and shall pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and do all of these things, he said, then will I hear from heaven. And then will I heal their land and cause, you know, the glory of the Lord to return. Well, you know, there are many things that we have to do in order to get the glory of the Lord to return. We have to seek his face. You say we have to seek his face? Yes. We have to seek his face. We have to pray. We have to turn from our wicked way. But more importantly, we have to humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves before him, you know, for a message, you know, similar to this. We must humble ourselves. What does it mean to humble ourselves? Well, when the word of God is preached, we hearken to the word. We prepare our hearts even to hearken to the word. We take heed to the word of God and we do as the word of God instructs. That is the way that the Lord brings the revival. That is the way that he brings the fire. But if we are unwilling to hearken to the word, if we are unwilling to humble ourselves and so forth, well, you know, then it's going to be very difficult to have the kind of revival that we are looking for. When the heaven is shut up, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, And verse 26. And there is no rain. See? When there is no revival, pretty much. Because they have sinned against thee and so forth. So he began to pray when he dedicated that temple. He said, well, you know, if there is a time that the people need revival, then there's no revival. You know, let it be, Lord, that you will answer if they turn to you and so forth like that. Well, God answered the prayer and he gave him the conditions. He said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 13. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land and so forth like that, and send pestilence among the people. Now, if my people, that's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now notice all the things that he wants us to do. Humble themselves. Pray. Seek my face, sir. And turn from their wicked ways. Well, humble themselves, the first place to start. You humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. That's what the Bible says. In due time, he will lift you up. Now, so when we see the conditions that are around us, when we see, you know, all of the things, and each person has to check its life. The Bible says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. You know, one more sign is when the joy of our Lord has withered from your soul. That could be a sign of backsliding. You say joy of the Lord? Absolutely. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. In that verse, it ties the joy of the Lord to even revival. See, it says when the joy is withered from the souls of men, you know, that's why all the, you know, everything is languishing and everything is dead, because joy is withered from the sons of men. That's Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. You know, so when that joy, the exuberance, the jubilation that you once had in the Lord, you know, when that's not exactly there anymore, well, maybe that's a sign of backsliding. That's when you need to put more fuel in the fire. See, that means the fire, the lamps are going out. So we got to fan that fire. We got to get that, you know, thing going again and so forth like that. Now, what the Lord wants us to do today is to caution every one of us. Examine ourselves. Stir up. Ignite that fire once again. Rekindle that flame. You know, now, one of the other things that I should mention is, you know, if the things of the world, if you become more comfortable with the things of the world more than the things of God, you know, that's a sure sign, you know, of backsliding, which eventually leads to apostasy. You'll find that in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Now, we have preached, I have stood here by the grace of God on this platform, and I have preached on all kinds of subjects. I have preached on lifted up messages, you know, so forth, you know, because, you know, I just pulled that in somebody's mind and said, well, you know, why is he preaching like this and so forth like that? You know, that's not what we came here to hear. Well, that's exactly what we came here to hear. You know, because, you know, the Lord has given me all kinds of messages that we've preached here, you know, messages to lift people up and so forth like that and all that, you know. But sometimes also he gives me these other kinds of messages to get us into shape. Praise ye the name of the Lord. You know, and so we got to preach everything just the way the Lord gives it. Now, John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So you young people, and even we older ones too. See, you know, he says, if any man love the world, see, if you find out that the things of the low world, are, you know, you're more comfortable with the things of the world than the things of God. He said the love of the Father is not in him. So we see that that's already apostasized. you know, in there. So be very, very careful about that. You know, when the, you know, normal things of this world, even secular things, you know, sports, whatever it is, and so forth, you know, when it gets your attention more than going to church, for instance, you know, and all that. You know, if you'd rather go to the gym than come to church in the morning, you know, or you'd rather stay home and watch, you know, the some kind of sports event, you know, than go to church, or than get up and win some souls to the Lord, you know. If you'd rather be doing these other things and you're not, you don't have that, there's no passion. See, that's a sure sign of backsliding. You know, and if your eyes, the Lord wants me to say this now, if your eyes are dry, there are no tears in your eyes. If your heart is seared and nothing seems to move you, then that's when the Bible says, Ephesians chapter 5 and 14, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. When you first met the Lord, when you first received that power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you had tears in your eyes. You had compassion in your souls. You cried for souls. You were moved by the things of God. But today, your eyes are dry. Your heart is stony, maybe. And the Bible says, turn unto me with all your heart, and I will give you light again. Now you say, these conditions and so forth, yeah. And even if you are listening to this message right now, and if this kind of message makes you feel uncomfortable, this message that you're hearing right now, if it makes you feel uncomfortable, you want to get out of here. You don't want to listen to any of this. That's a sure sign. See? Praise ye the Lord. That you need to rekindle that fire in your heart. Oh yes. Because you know that this message, that even though it sounds like this, there is a feeling of peace and there's a feeling of comfort behind it. This message is not about condemnation, but it's about getting you back to where you used to be and even higher. So there is, you know, so you know that there is a comfort and consolation behind it from the Holy Spirit. You know, that if you do these things, then the Lord will respond. Now, we need revival in the church. We need every soul to be fired up. We need people back on track where they used to be. We need people fired up to witness for Christ everywhere they go. We need soul winners. We need some people that we evangelize for Christ. You know, but, you know, the conditions that we see around us today, it's just not there. So let's see what the Lord wants us to do about it. Turn with me to Joel chapter 1. This is what the Lord wants us to do about it. Besides this preaching, you know, because he said, thy word is like a fire in my bones and so forth. So we've got to get that fire back in our bones. And, you know, and some of us may have lost that fire. You know, how do we lose that fire? The Bible says, because iniquity will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. See, because there's iniquity abounding all around us. You know, so you find out the passion, the fire has gone out. You need to put some more fuel back in that fire. You know, and one of the ways to put the fuel back in the fire is to listen to messages like this. The pure, undiluted, uncompromising word of God that puts it straight out. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. And that's the only way to get us back, you know. Get us back into shape and so forth like that. You know, Joel, I'm going to read a verse in Joel chapter 1. And then I'm going to read another verse in Joel chapter 2 of what the Lord wants us to do about all of this and how to get us back. Now, Joel chapter 1 and verse 14. Sanctify ye a fast. At the end of this message, I'm going to do just that. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. And then in chapter 2 and verse 15, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Now this is a message to, you know, somebody like me and so forth, the pastor and so forth, the ministers and so forth. This is what they need to do. So I'm going to do just that. The Lord, you know, he wants me to do that this morning. Gather the people. See? Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. You know, so, you know, sometimes the youth, you know, the young people, I'm going to speak to you directly out of this platform this morning. Sometimes the young people, when we say we want to do some things, you know, they don't want to be a part of it and so forth like that. Well, this is a church. Not for one side of the church, for the older people, and another side for the younger people, and so forth. We don't serve two different gods. Amen. We serve that same living God. And we preached that message some months ago about bridging the generation gap. You know, so you should listen to that. It's on the internet. But anyway, this is not just for the older people. This is for everybody that has chosen to make this their church home. See? And this is where we are going to find out how many people are going to humble themselves. See? Because if the Lord directs the pastor to do something like this, and you say, well, I don't want any part of it, then, you know, that shows the pride. See? And you may be the one that is the acorn in the camp, the weak link in the chain. And that's the kind of thing that prevents revival. So we don't want any part of that. You know, but we believe, and I know that there is some inherent good in the heart of everybody that's sitting here. And all you need is something to stir it up, which is what I'm doing this morning. Praise you, the name of the Lord. So we are going to sanctify the fast. We are going to gather the people. I want all the young people. I want all the older people and so forth. We are going to sanctify a fast this weekend that is coming. That's right. And I will say more about it in a few minutes. We're going to gather the people. We're going to sanctify the congregation. We're going to gather the children and all those that suck at the breast. And so, you know, if you have young children, bring them in here. You know, the Lord said everybody. It doesn't matter. You know, get everybody in here and let all the ministers and so forth, let us lay before the Lord all night long or whatever it is. And let us seek the face of God. Well, the problem is people are not willing to pay the price. So we want the glory. We want the Lord to do great things. We want the Lord to bring souls and so forth like that. But we don't want to pay the price. Well, it's not going to work. See? Because Jesus paid the price. He went 40 days and 40 nights. And even one time he was praying until blood was coming out of his brows and so forth like that. And he went through all kinds of things to get that gold. And he got that gold. Hallelujah. Oh, sure he did. You know, he put his life on the line and he went for that pearl of great price. And did he ever get it? That's the reason you're sitting here today. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Now it is your turn. Because he said, I go unto my Father. See, he's gone now. He's not coming back to die on the cross anymore. That's done. See? It is now our turn to take that gospel and win souls into the kingdom of God and do all we can for the Lord. And when our souls are famished, when there is dryness in our hearts and there is complacency and apathy, you know, spiritual apathy, it's a dangerous thing. You know, he said, woe unto them that are at ease inside. You know, when, you know, you just don't, you're not moved by the conditions of the world. You're not moved by souls that are dying, you know, and so forth like that and going to hell. And so on. You know, that's when we need to sanctify fast. Because the Bible says, well, you know, everything is languishing, everything is dried up, you know, even the joy is dried up and so forth. So that's when you need to sanctify fast. So let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and so forth like that. You know, and so we're going to begin, you know, to sanctify the fast and call upon the name of the Lord. Now, last week we started this series. And I may preach one more message like this and so forth. Then we're going to go into a set of teachings. Actually teaching of how we're going to do these things. You know, so we want everybody to be a part of this. Now, when it comes to soul winning and evangelism, we don't want you to separate yourself and say, well, that's not for me. I'm not a part of that. Say, well, you know, the very reason why the Lord led us to start this church, this is a church that is based on evangelism. You know, in case we forgot about that. It's called Gospel Missions International. Our very purpose is to take the gospel to the nations. That is our very purpose. So if you think that we are here just to come and sit in church every Sunday, no, that's not what we are doing. What we are doing is when we come to church on Sunday, we get each other fired up. That's what church is all about. We get everybody fired up. We fire one another up and so forth like that. If your light is going, you know, dim a little, you know, somebody that has a brighter light will lighten you up. Ignite the flame. You know, you catch the flame. You catch the vision. Then you go out and you do things for the kingdom of God. And then you come in and you bring in the sheaves and so forth like that. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, but if we sit down and get complacent and we just get comfortable, you know, coming to church and enjoying the service and so forth like that, you know, well, you know, we might already be backsliding and not even know it. You know, one time, the great Samson, he had already lost his power and he didn't even know it. See? And he began to say, well, you know, he bestirred himself as in old times. Huh? Nothing happened because the Spirit of God was already departed from him and he didn't even know it, you know. Sometimes that just reminds me of the condition of the church in general. You know, these days, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, we try to be there, but nothing happens, you know, because the power has already left and we didn't know it. You know, that's when we need to get back on our knees. That's when we need to get back in the sanctifying of the past, in the calling of these things, and in praying and seeking the face of the Lord. And here's what the Lord just wants me to read now. I didn't have this marked down, but Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis. This is Revelation 3 verse 1. This thing saith he that has the seven spirits. Now remember, those seven spirits were like the seven lamps of fire. That's what we read in Revelation 4 and verse 5. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. And that's what Jesus said, not me. But I'm standing in the message of the Lord this morning to invite us, open our hearts to this kind of message that will inspire us to ignite that fire in our souls. Spend more time in prayer. Spend more time in the reading of the Word. Energize yourself back in the things of God. Shut off that television for crying out loud. Because it's making you not to pray. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The hours that some people spend watching TV, they just, you know, you could spend that hour praying in the Holy Ghost, building up your most holy faith. Now there's place for good programs and so forth like that, you know. But if you spend a lot of time watching, especially the things that defile, you know, you and so forth like that, you know, then you're already backslidden. You need to wake up. And the Lord says to the church, not this church necessarily, but the church in general, wake up, Laodicea. See? Because time is at hand. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'd like everybody to stand to your feet this morning. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, how many of you love the Lord with all your heart this morning? Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, you know, I know that the people of God will respond to the word of God. Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. And if you believe that the voice of the Lord was in that message, you will hear it. See? Because, you know, but Jesus said to some others also, he said, well, he said, you cannot hear my word. You can't even understand my speech. because you are not of God. Now, I do believe that there is nobody in this congregation that falls under that category. The people that are here are the people in the category that my sheep hear my voice. And they will respond. And they will follow me, Jesus said, and I will give them eternal life. And I will also raise them up at the last day. Now, but let us make sure that we respond to the voice of the Spirit. Because if we grieve the Spirit, if he speaks long enough, and we don't do anything about it, pretty soon he is grieved. See? And he will stop speaking. And that's the situation in which many people are in today. Because they have gone away from the Lord for so long. And the Holy Ghost, you know, there's no more passion, there's no more motivation. But just like the prodigal son, the Bible says he came to his senses. And he said, I must go back to my father. Now, if you will come back to your spiritual senses, if you have been asleep, awake out of sleep. If you have been dead, like the Bible says, you have a name that thou livest. They say, oh, you are brother so and so, you are this brother, you are that fine, wonderful sister, but you are dead, the Bible says. Jesus said, as many as I love, say, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. He said, because I have not found your works perfect before God. But he began to tell them, he began to charge them up. Say, come on, get back to the original things. And stir up yourself once again. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if we will believe a message like this, and if we will respond, then the Lord, he will hear from heaven. Now he says, sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the word of God, I sanctify a fast this weekend. Now that's this coming Friday through Sunday. And I want everybody to join in that fast. And let us come. That means we will be having meetings this weekend. And I will say more about that in a minute. We're going to sanctify that fast. We're going to come and we are going to seek the face of the Lord to revive our soul, to free that fire, to light that candle again, the flame that is dying, to rekindle it and to ignite the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, and some of you, if you have received the Holy Spirit but there is no fire, well, either you have allowed your oil to leak, or you need to pray and seek that fire. Because the Holy Ghost anointing is more than just speaking in tongues. It is supposed to be, you saw all those scriptures we read about his presence and his fire and his attributes about fire. It's supposed, it cannot. There's no, the fire of God will heat up even the cold and impassionate spirit and soul. When you have that fire in your heart, it will take, the burn that coldness out of there. Get you fired up for the Lord. How many of you say praise the Lord? And if that fire is missing, maybe you once had it, then it is time to seek the Lord again for that fire and that passion. That's the only way. Once we are revived, when that joy returns to our souls, that's when revival will break forth. Joel chapter 1 and verse 12. When that joy returns, when that fire returns to our souls, as individuals and as a church, then we can begin to expect the Lord to move through us to reach the people that are outside. Let us pray. I want everybody to lift your hands as we will pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, these words are not my words. These are the words that you gave to stir up our hearts, to call us back to the place where we once believed, to free that fire in our souls, to lighten that candle again, to ignite the fire and rekindle the flame. And I pray, Lord, for everyone that has heard this message this morning. Let us not be hearers only, but doers of thy word. In the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drinking and the cares of this life. And those are the things that choke out that fire sometimes. You got to return to your closet. Return to the place, those of you that used to wake up at 3 a.m. in the night to pray, but you don't do it anymore, and so forth like that. You got to return to that place and seek and get a hold of God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Remember, what is your life? It is only a vapor. And soon it passes away. And once it's gone, you will never get another chance to come back and do it all over. So this is the time to do everything you can, not only for the Lord, but according to the way that the Lord wants it. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Father Lord, we thank you this morning. We invite our precious Holy Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that you would come and sweep over us, O Lord. Sweep over us, O Lord. Sweep over us even this morning. Bring that fire back, even in our souls and our hearts and our minds, in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Come on, let's sound like people that want that fire. Amen. I'm going to take a few minutes to invite you to take a step of faith. If you want me to believe the Lord with you, to ignite this fire once again. Or maybe you have never received this passionate fire of the Holy Ghost in your life. Maybe your life is just dull and impassioned. And maybe, you know, the chaos of the life has choked these things out. Here is an opportunity for you. If my people shall humble themselves and will pray. I'm going to invite anybody that wants that fire to be reignited in their lives. Well, I can't do it. Even John the Baptist said, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He is the one that will do it. But you must respond. I'm going to give you a chance to respond this morning. Don't look at the next person beside you. That doesn't matter. You know, what they think or they don't think, that has nothing to do with anything. What matters is what the Lord wants. And if you have heard His voice this morning, harden not your hearts. I'm going to invite you, if you want this fire, you want this flame, God didn't want me to close this without making prayer for some this morning. Come out here, let's pray together. Let's believe the Lord if you want this spark back in your heart. Now, I don't want anybody to just come out here just for coming out's sake. You know, if you come out here to receive that spark in your life, if you come out here to say, I want that fire be ignited, well, you better wake up then. You know, there's a part that God will do, and there's a part that you must do. See, when you are asleep and you wake up, you must get up out of the bed. You can't just lay in bed, you know, and so forth like that. If God is waking you up this morning, then you must get up out of the bed. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ will give you light. You know, and I prayed for everybody already this morning. And if those tears are no longer in your eyes, you know, if your heart is now, you know, just dry and so forth, then maybe you need that fire again. You know, and I prayed and my heart swelled up. And I know that the Lord, He's going to do great things in the lives of His people. Who has despised the day of small things? These be the eyes of the Lord. All over this place, those of you who are here this morning, I thank you. I want you to lift up your hands and begin to pray. Thank you for trusting me to bring the word of the Lord to you. And thank you for accepting the word of the Lord. I don't do it for glory. I don't do it for fame, but I just do what the Lord, He puts in our hearts to do. And I have brought the word of God this morning, and you have responded. And the Lord is going to reward your faith. He's going to reward your humility. And we are going to pray together. I am going to ask God to open the windows of heaven and ignite your souls with fire in the mighty name of Jesus. the areas that have dried up, that are now languishing in your life, I'm going to ask the Lord to stir them up in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, everyone that has come forward this morning, Lord, I see many of them here, Lord. They didn't come unto me, but they have come unto you. And in the name of Jesus, you said, I will in no wise, anyone that comes unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Jesus will not refuse you this morning. Lord, I pray for that fire. I pray for that spark back in their lives, everyone, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that passion that we once had, that first love that we once had, which now needs to be rekindled. The time when we used to spend hours in prayer, which now we spend hours in watching TV or whatever. Lord, this is the time, Lord, we want to confess all of these things. I want those of you who are here, begin to pray. Anything that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of this morning, you just confess it before the Lord. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of mercy. Don't carry this burden out of here this morning. Don't carry it out. If the Lord has convicted you of prayerlessness or anything, or maybe you just, you know, you waste your time on things that are defiling you, watch the wrong programs on TV, or whatever it is that you should not be doing. Or you will not, you know, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, or whatever it is, and you have allowed that oil to run out. Whatever the Lord has convicted you of this morning, you pray, you put it before Him, and He is going to refresh your soul. He is going to refresh your soul. This is why we come to church, to have this refreshing, to have this power, to have this greatness of God in our lives. Praise God. And if your life has been dried, perhaps because of circumstances, wherever you were, I ask in the name of Jesus, just like the prodigal son, he said in his heart, if I just get up and go back to my father, he will receive me. Those of you that took this step of faith this morning, I want you to be assured that the Lord, he will receive you with open arms in the mighty name of Jesus. Now all over this place, Lord, as thy people begin to pray, I ask for the power of thy Holy Spirit. Let that Holy Spirit come. Let him fall afresh. Ignite that fire again in our souls and in the souls of thy people. Everyone that is standing here this morning. And as they confess their sins and confess their shortcomings, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I confess together with everyone. Even as Daniel prayed, he said, this confusion of faces has come unto us because of our sins. Because we as a people, we have not done the right things that God has wanted us to do. We have allowed the cares of this life and the love of the world and all these things to choke out the fire in our lives. Father, we confess and we repent this morning and we ask for a fresh anointing. We ask for a fresh power of the Holy Spirit. Receive, O Lord, even our prayers this morning. Be gracious unto us, O Lord. Renew the right spirit within us this morning. Renew the power of the Holy Ghost. Renew that fire. Renew that Holy Ghost. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Everybody says, amen. Amen. I want you to sing this short chorus with me. It says, the fire is burning. The fire is burning to the glory of the Lord. Well, you may not know it. Some of you may know it. Some of you old timers, just sing with me. The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the glory of the Lord. The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the glory of the... Manny, help me out. The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the glory of the Lord. The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the glory of the Lord. The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the glory. Is it burning? The fire is burning, the fire is burning, the fire is burning to the
glory of our Lord. The fire is burning. The fire is burning. The fire is burning to the glory of our Lord. The fire is burning. The fire is burning. The fire is burning to the glory of our Lord.